We want to welcome you to our church and wonderful Word of God here at People's Valley Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, we'll be taking the Word of God and sharing our blessings with you into your homes. Please come and join us and worship with us. We're located at People's Valley Baptist Church at 68 Ledford Lane, Cartersville, Georgia. May God bless you as we go into the precious Word of God.
To 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. You know, I heard John Hagee this morning, and he was telling a story, and if you didn't catch it, it was hilarious. He was talking about a pastor of a church that had got surgery done, and when he woke up, he was in one of the Baptist hospitals close by. And they had closed all the shades in his room. And when he woke up, it was dark in there. And he said, "What's going on? What happened?" And he said, "Well," he said, the nurse said that the building across the street caught on fire. And we thought that if you woke up, you might think you was in the wrong place. So we closed the shades for you. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. If you would stand with me this morning for the reading of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Listen to the reading of God's Word this morning. "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all grass, or all flesh, is as grass," getting ahead of myself there, "and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, as this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You may be seated." Let us pray. Father, I thank you this morning for letting us have this time once again. Lord, I thank you that you give us all that we needed and will ever need when you saved our souls. It gave us an escape route out of this old world. That, Father, I thank God that there was nothing corruptible about it. I thank you for giving us the wonderful seed, the Word of God, that was planted in our hearts and lives. And now, God, as we look at this message this morning, I ask you, God, that you would give us what we stand in need of during our hour and time that we need here this morning. Oh, precious Lord, have your way and will. And I ask you, God, that if there's one that's among us, Lord, that doesn't have peace in their soul, oh, God, that, Lord, that is being tormented, Lord, by the things of this world, I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, let them come forward and get peace in their souls. Lord, if there's someone here that is looking for a place to come and call their church home, I ask you in the name of Jesus, speak to their hearts this morning and let them know that this is where you want them to come and to reside and to work in Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I thank God the Scripture begins to tell us here that is, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation that you received by the tradition of your fathers. I thank God there's a lot of things that we have that are incorruptible. I thank God, and just for your information, if you wanted to make note, I thank God that Romans 1:22 and 23 tells us of the incorruptible God that he is, amen. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God. I thank God for the incorruptible word, amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. I tell you, the incorruptible ornament that was there. 1 Peter chapter 3, 4. The incorruptible love that was there. Ephesians chapter 6. I could go on and on and on. The incorruptible inheritance that we're going to have one of these days. But I'm not preaching that message this morning. Amen. It is fantastic. But I'm going to tell you what I'm preaching this morning. A series that the Lord has given to us that I mentioned it Wednesday night about on our way home. And if the Lord permit me to preach all of them, I won't even say how many, because I don't know if I'll preach all that he gives me. I don't know that yet. But I do know I'm preaching this one this morning. Amen. On our way home, what a series. And this morning, I want for just a little while to talk to you about now that I'm saved, hell is behind me. Now that I'm saved, hell is behind me. Amen. I thank God that Peter knew what he was talking about. Now, I want to tell you, I told my Sunday school class, you know, I'll preach and I'll break this down for you. But this morning, I'm going to explain this text to you with some other scripture as well. As I call that old-fashioned preaching. Amen. Where they take the rest of the Bible that is not out of context, but it fits in with what I'm talking about this morning. Amen. There's some things that stood out here in this text this morning. Talking about being, having not nothing that was corruptible. But that verse 19 said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I remember when I was a young preacher, Philip, and the first time I ever preached, there was a foot washing going on. And there was a preacher that you didn't know who was going to preach that Sunday. I ended up preaching on the pans. Somebody would preach on the blood. You know, that's how they do it, amen, when you walk in. You're preaching today, amen. That's how you better be ready, amen. You better be ready. And I ended up, that was the very first message, and I preached on the Lamb without blemish and without spot. And I say, praise God that that's what it took. There was nothing that could take the place that would meet the sacrificial deeds of all the dirty sins in our lives. That what Christ did on Calvary's cross. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I didn't know much about preaching, but I knew what the power of God could do, and I just let go and let God work through me. And Philip, that's all you got to do, brother. I'm going to tell you, ain't a time I don't get behind the pulpit that I ain't a little nervous until you turn it over and let the Lord take over. Amen. Amen, brother. Brother Paul, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how to explain it, but you just got to step out on it. Amen. And the Lord will take it from there. But here this morning, I thank God that there's some things in our lives, as I'm talking about, that we need to remember. There's things in our lives that you say, well, look, the Bible says don't take a hold of the plow and be looking back. We're looking ahead. But it's good to remember some things, amen, some wonderful things. And one of them is what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. That's something that we always need to remember. And the Apostle Paul said, all things are become new, amen. I thank God for that today. And I tell you, it awakened in our hearts a new desire, a new destiny, thank God, a new danger, and a new determination every day. But those first few days, those first few weeks when I first got saved, there was something special about that I'm talking about this morning that I remember back. I remember back when I first got saved and how wonderful it was, amen. The experience about being a born-again Christian, amen. Absolutely wonderful, amen. Boy, I tell you, I'll never forget it. And such a love and a joy that there is that's never been known from someone that has just been saved. How precious that is this morning, thank God. The happiness that's there this morning. But our hope, I tell you, as we speak open to you this morning, unashamed to you this morning, that we speak to you, we remember a time such in heaven, I tell you, that here in the Bible, as it talks about, someone else that remembered a time. And it was Peter, James, and John. in the book of St. Luke that they did this. And I tell you, Peter and James and John, they wished to remain and go back to something that they had remembered like that. They remembered the transfiguration that they had had when they were the ones that went up with Jesus on the mountain of God. They went up there, and I thank God they began to experience the glorious mountain where God was. They went up to the mountain with Jesus, amen. I tell you, and there when they went up, they didn't understand everything, all the intentions. But I'm going to tell you something. We must never forget the glory of the first few days after conversion. Because that is something that the devil always comes and says, you ever been saved? Do you know what you're talking about? And in my remembrance, I go back as a little old boy of 8 years old that got down on his knee. And I remember, but it wasn't about all of the formalism that I got down and that I prayed and I asked God to forgive me of my sin. But I remember that very thing that I did. I took my lips and I professed my sins as a sinner. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life. And when he did that, I knew that it was something that was of a higher power that I had never, ever experienced before. And I remember that. And I thank God as Peter and James and John, they remember what happened when they were on the mountain over there. Back in Luke chapter 9, amen. And they remember the grief that happened when they came down off the mountain. And I want to break that down just in a minute for you, in just a few minutes. But I thank God as it went over, I noticed about probably five thoughts about Luke chapter 9. You say, well, you're preaching out of 1 Peter. I know it. But I'll get back to it in just a minute. But listen, I want to use this to go with this morning. And first of all, the thing that I saw in Luke chapter 9, verse 28, You can turn to it with me, or you can listen to me, but I'm going to read it to you. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James, and he went up into a mountain to pray. There we see the visit that took place. Then the thing we see next was the vision that happened, because the personal glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, began to come down there in the 29th. It says, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And then we see the visitors as well that arrived in this wonderful, glorious mountain experience that they recall. Amen. In Luke 9:30 it says, and behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory in the 31st, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavily with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. Notice what he said now. Let me say it again. And they saw the Lord's glory and the two men that was with him. And the fourth thing was the voice that had came down. The Father concerning his Son, amen. The voice was there in verses 34 through 36. And it says, while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it closed. And they told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Like Peter, we too, we don't want to remain in that type of atmosphere in our lives today. In all of our Christian life, we want to stay on the glorious mountain of transfiguration. But believe me, I wish we could, but we can't. I wish we could, but we can't. Every one of us, how wonderful it is to withdraw to somewheres and be able to have care, to get away from all of the cares and all of the confusion of this world, and get in a secluded place like that mountain that they were on. But I'm going to tell you something. Where the glory is so real and God's voice is so refreshing. But this morning, I'm telling you, you can feel that refreshing this morning. When you get at home, you can feel that refreshing this morning. When you get down on your knees. But I said five things, amen, that I told you. I told you about the visit. I told you about the vision. I told you about the visitors and the voice. But there was one other thing that's there that they had to experience. They had been on the mountain. They experienced all of these things. The visit, the vision, the visitors, and the voice. But there was the fifth thing, the valley. Because the Bible says they had come back down. Later on, it began to tell them that they came back down in the 9th chapter of St. Luke in the 37th verse. It said, and it came to pass that on the next day when they will come down from the hill, much people met with them. They come down off the valley.
Every day we get down in the valley and we begin to learn things about the valley. We learn things about ourselves that we would never ever know unless we got down in the valley this morning. I'm telling you, there's some folks out there that is in the valley. And they're learning things that they need to learn, that God wants them to learn, because they're in the valley. God's got a reason for them to be in the valley sometimes. I tell you this morning, like Peter, James, and John, we leave that glory on the mountain and we find grief down in the valley. And we have to go down in the valley to find out what we're made out of and what we've got to do sometimes. And in this valley, the disciples of our Lord found despair of suffering and deficiency of self and the devils of strength that was out there. But then they found the deliverance of a Savior, thank God, that gave them what they needed, praise God. Boy, I'm going to tell you, He delivered them because the Bible told us that He did in Luke chapter 9 in verses 41 and 42. And I'm going to read them for you this morning. And Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither." What was taking place? They were going to cast out a demon out of a boy and they couldn't do it. Listen to what He said. "Bring thy son hither." And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tearing. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We may not be able to do it. You may ask me to do it. I can't do it. But my Savior can do it this morning. And He can deliver you this morning, thank God. He's able. He's more than able. Now let me get into my text this morning. Amen. You say, "Boy, He's going to be long this morning." No, I'm not. I'll be punctual as well. But I want to talk about some first things that we must, and I say I must, that we should have in our life today as a Christian in order to grow, in order to develop. That will go with 1 Peter scripture that I shared with you today. I'm going to tell you what all five of them are. Or excuse me. All four of them. I ain't adding on any more than I have to, amen, this morning. I want to tell you this, that this is what I'd like to share with you this morning that the Lord has laid on our heart. If you're writing your Bible, you write them down. If you don't, write them on a pad. But write these down because I believe they will help you to better mature as a Christian in your walks of life. I'm going to tell you what all four of them are. First of all, if I get through, if I don't, you say, "What do you mean you don't get through?" Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I may not get everything out, but I'm going to do what the Lord says do this morning, and that'll be it. I must remember some things is what I'm going to start out with. I must remember some things. I guarantee you, the Lord gave me this, that it will bless your heart this morning. I must remember some things is the first thing that I want to say this morning. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I must remember some things. I must receive some things. I must refuse some things. And I must rejoice in some things. Amen. Now, first off, I must remember some things. That's what we were talking about this morning. Just like they remembered when they went on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter wrote about it later, didn't he? He wrote about it in 1 Peter. But I thank God the first thing that I must remember is what salvation is. And that's what I was talking about this morning with what I was saying. I must remember what salvation is. What it means, I tell you. It is a gift of God, amen. I must never forget it. I must never, I tell you, before have I received such a marvelous gift as salvation. And I must remember that, I tell you. I must remember some things, and that is the gift of my salvation. Amen. It is unspeakable, the Word of God tells us this morning. It is an unspeakable gift. Amen. And what? Full of glory. Hallelujah. That the Bible tells us. It is a gift that tells us in John 3:16. It tells us in Romans 5:8. And if I read everything, amen, we would be here a while. Amen. But I hope you know what I'm talking about or look it up a little bit. Because we're told that it is a gift, amen. And salvation is not only a divine gift from a loving God, I tell you. It is a divine deliverance, I tell you, from the life of bondage that He gives us today. He gives us a way out in this old world. We progressed from being the slaves of sin to the sons of God, amen. I tell you, from the confusion of contentment, from the prisons, I tell you, of Satan to the pleasures of our Savior today. And I thank God of all of the things that He's done for us. Amen. He's let us be able to have heavenly places in Christ Jesus that we can go, that strong and mighty power that we can run into. Amen. And find refuge. I tell you, from the evil forces of this whole world today, this the greatest gift is the gift of salvation. Amen. I tell you, in addition, a divine person indwells us, I tell you, giving us instructions, the Holy Spirit of God. It indwells us, I tell you. It's there with us. John 14:6, amen, says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he shall abide with you forever," is what he tells us this morning. I tell you, I thank God for that unspeakable gift that he gives us today, amen. Talking about unspeakable, amen. This old froggy voice I got today, amen. But thank God. We need to remember what the Lord has blessed us and given us, and that is the gift of salvation, amen. Never forget it, amen. Well, I tell you, I was looking, and there were so many things that you could go into. I thank God for the 7 steps of maturity that he gives us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 there. He gives us the knowledge, the temperance, the patience, the godliness, the brotherly kindness, and the charity that must be a must for the growth in Jesus Christ every day in this walks of life that we have today, amen. But I remember how I received this marvelous gift is what I need you to remember. I need to remember some things, amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that, remembering what he's done for us. I'll tell you, as I was studying this, you know, I come up, and it's hard to come up with this definition. And it may not do it any justice, but I believe it will. But I'll tell you what the definition for grace is. I'll tell you, we've been saved by grace alone. And this, I'm going to tell you, if you write in your Bible, I want you to write this down just exactly how I tell you to write it down. Because we are saved by grace alone, and never forget that it is grace alone that saves us. Listen, with a big G and spell it the rest, God. Big G-O-D, spell it right in your Bible. With a big R and spell redeeming, amen. Spell it with a big A and the word act. With a big C, the word Christ. And a big E, expenses. What did I just spell? I spelled out grace, but I used it with what sentence? God redeeming at Christ's expense. That's the definition of grace, amen. I can't put it any better than spell it out for you that way today, amen, because that's what it's all about today, amen. And I thank God for what he's done. But listen, all of this, I must remember some things, but I also must receive some things as well. I must receive some things, amen. And that is, now that I'm saved, there's many things that I must receive as a newborn Christian, amen. First one of those things is energy for my development. I need to receive as a newborn Christian, okay? Hell's behind me, but what do I do next, amen? To grow and to mature. I need to receive energy for my development. That's what I need as I'm starting out as a newbie in God's kingdom. I need something that'll help me. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby." You know, a great mistake that is made by the so-called super churches today. Every one of your big multi-churches today, all of the emphasis is on the numbers today. All of the things is about all of those. But I'm going to tell you something. It reminds me of the days of child labor when you had the kids that were working for under wages and all of those things in the factories during years ago. And a child needs that time in their life to grow and to develop before they are rushed into something for which they're not ready. That's exactly right. And one of the many reasons young Christians today are thrust into a ministry of some sort, because all children want to do things that they're not ready to do. There's so many folks, while some want to grow a mustache before they got a whisker, amen. I remember I was there. I'd like to have colored mine if I could have, amen. And now I'd like to color it another way. But I said, no, Lord, just let it be natural, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. As we think about our own childhood, we know this is true. Because I'm telling you mine right now, amen. Every one of us, every little girl that wants to cook like her mother does, every little girl there was, they want to. Well, I saw Bill Cosby one thing yesterday when I got home, and he made a mistake on the Cosby Show, and he fell asleep. And next thing you know, his wife come in, and he had a rouge. He had a rouge on his cheeks and lipstick on his lips. And his little girl had been docking him up and used him for one of those little dolls, amen. And when he woke up, she told him, his wife said, "Go look in the mirror at yourself." And he saw all that LaRouge all on his cheeks, said, "You're looking pretty today." You know, can you, every little little girl wants to go in the kitchen and cook, okay? But Lord forbid that they go in the kitchen by themselves without an adult. Amen. Because you're talking about seeing flour everywhere and all over the place. You know what I mean, Brother Al? There's going to be a problem in that kitchen if that little girl goes in there. Amen. I mean, how disastrous would it turn out to that kitchen unless they're older this morning? Every one of us is that way. That's the problem, you see. We see this throughout the country today. In our churches, many have been won to the Lord Jesus Christ, they've been born again, I tell you, but as babes in Christ, just as there's no substitute for grace, there is no substitute for growth as well. They have got to go through what it takes to be able to grow and to mature. It is an absolute must for our Christians and their maturity that we must receive the food which produces energy for our growth. There is no microwave recipe for this. Okay? There is nothing quick about it. You have got to be faithful in coming to the house of God to be able to mature. And I tell you, just as a young boy always is out wanting to cut wood, I tell you, and to help keep others warm, I'm going to tell you something. He will soon grow cold and weary because he's not been able to enjoy the warmth of the fire himself. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? I'm telling you, some young converts have been made teachers sometimes and sometimes officers of churches, but and then they may not even be a year old in Christ, and they're trying to teach others when they so are desperately in needing of being taught themselves. And all of a sudden, they get discouraged and they just quit. They just leave because of that. It has happened. And that is what happened today. It's the times of difficulty and disappointment. So I'm telling you, every one of us, we need to take these times and seize these because there is an energy for development. And there is no microwave. There's no oatmeal, quick meals, and toasters and toasties that we can do to get past those nutritious energy meals that comes from the precious Word of God. It takes that time to develop. Just like a young girl, when we take her to the kitchen, it's a little thing at a time. And before nobody, it's a tasty recipe that she can cook in the pastries and in any type of recipe there is. Because, boy, her mama taught her well. Amen. Because her daddy, I tell you, said, hey, I want her to learn. But I'm going to tell you something, sons as well, because your daddy's told you as well. They started out with the grass and the trimming. And before long, you could build the house when you got done. Because it takes that. Not only the energy for our developments, I tell you, but listen, also the enlightenment for our doctrine. Their doctrine, listen, it is simply Bible teaching. Okay? And I tell you, in the coming minutes this morning, I tell you, we will develop, I tell you, the doctrines of that sin and about what salvation and what Satan does. But it doesn't happen overnight sometimes. Sometimes we have got to take those things and be faithful in coming to church, sitting under good sound preaching, under good sound teaching, amen. And I praise God for that. Good sound worshiping and praising, amen. That we develop those things, amen. That we need to enlighten us for the doctrine of ourselves in the kingdom of God. But if you come by it fast in any other way, it'll be the wrong way. It is only by the preached gospel with the anointing from God's precious word that we receive what we need today. Amen. And listen, where does it lie? Can't say anybody else but myself or any other minister. I tell you, it's our responsibilities as ministers, as pastors, as preachers, as teachers to get it right. Because why? Because listen, in everything there must be a balance. There must be a balance, and from our pulpits and our classrooms, there must be a balanced diet from the Word of God. That is all there is. I'm telling you, we're to be built up in the saints, I tell you, by the most holy faith through the precious Word of God this morning, amen. So along with the energy for our development and the enlightenment for our doctrine, it comes the encouragement for the deportment. For the deportment that we need. And what am I saying? I'm telling you, in some strange way, we want to think something was done about the flesh when we were saved. For some strange reason, we want to think that. But no. This old fleshly nature is just as mean, is just as vile as it ever was. Grace saved that soul, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a natural for a young Christian in his or her newfound joy, his love or her love for Jesus, to think that the flesh has been put to death but it has not. Listen to me. It has not been put to death. And he thinks and he tests the trials that they go through. That no problem. No problem. I'll make it. I'll make this test. I'll make this trial. But I'm going to tell you something. When you come to find out that something goes wrong, because listen, this old fleshly nature is still as vile as it ever has been. It cries out in despair, I'm going to tell you. I tell you. And then you get to feeling defeated and defiled and discouraged, all because you don't understand what you're going through in your Christian walk. You say, well, I got saved. Yes, but this old vile nature, this old fleshly man, is just as nasty as it ever was. He cleaned up what was on the inside. It is up to us in our maturity, listening to the Word of God, that in time, that it helps us clean up the outside that is here with us, amen. And we begin to put on a fleshly body, amen. Listen, we'll never ever be able to do this old fleshly body any harm. That's why it can't go to glory. It has to go back to the dust of the ground from which it came and that it was formed. And God blew the breath of life into it and it became a living soul. But I'm going to tell you something. It is just as vile as it ever was. But then young Christians begin to start out and they say, oh, I can do this. But then they get discouraged and they trip up because this thing, this old body, this old flesh is just like it always is. It's going to keep on trying to trip you up. It's going to keep on trying to lure you and rearrange you into something else that you should. The flesh cannot be improved. You hear me? The flesh cannot be improved. And the Garden of Eden makes it very plain because in salvation, we became a new creature in Christ Jesus. We were indwelt by God Himself. He gives us the power, I tell you, and the ability to be more than conquerors, I tell you. And I thank God for that this morning. We will never be without conflict with the flesh. Never. It will be there to try to... But listen, what? We crucify this old fleshly body. And you learn how to do that by being faithful to God. Being faithful to come into the house of God. But listen, it's just like I said in Sunday school. Be intimate with the Lord. Learn how to fall in love with God all over every day. Just like you should with your wife or your girlfriend. Or if you're engaged to get married. Learn, just be intimate with the Lord. And put Him first in your life. And everything else will come. You will be found in church. You will be found reading your word. Amen. You will be found in prayer. If you love the Lord with all of your heart, amen. So I must remember some things. I must receive some things. But I must refuse some things as well. Yeah, that's right. That's how we learn. I must refuse some things. Say, no. In all of our lives, no happier days are known than when those first few days and weeks, even months after our first time of salvation. Man, it was happy. Gosh, it was great. Well, I feel like we was on top of the world. However, this joy can be lost very quickly if we're not aware of some things. Huh? We got to be aware of some things. And that is, if we're not growing in spiritual things, we find ourselves beginning to complain and to criticize and to condone things and to be contrary. And our nature as a child of God, we do all this. It's just, what did I just, it's just our nature. Why, good Lord, we'll complain about everything and anything. It's our nature too. We've got to learn to refuse some things. And one of the first things is that we've got to refuse to complain about is our lot. When things begin to happen, I tell you, we don't understand it. All of a sudden, don't start complaining. The Lord knows exactly where you are. I'm going to tell you something. And what you're going through, you don't have to complain about it. He knows what you need. He knows where you're going, amen. I tell you, and in the very easy, it is very easy, I tell you, to complain. Every one of us can be the pros of the pros at doing it. I'm going to tell you something. Old writer in the book of Psalm 73, you get home, make out a note, Psalm 73. Boy, when he began to see the wicked were prospering. The wicked, everything was just going good for him. He was wondering about it. He began to complain, why was the wicked prospering? That's all they got in this world, is whatever the material things are, you've got something much greater. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You have got something much more precious than ever today. Learn very early in your Christian journey, amen, that he that knoweth the way through the wilderness. What did the children of Israel begin to do when they got out there? They begin to complain about God's man. That was God's man, and they begin to complain about him because what we say in Sunday school, they got Egyptianized. They got Egyptianized because of all the things that they got involved in, and all of a sudden they was complaining about God's man. Boy, I'm going to tell you, all of the things that we begin to do, we complain about all of our lot that this ain't right. We complain about the limits of our blessings that we should receive. God knows exactly what you stand in need of when you need it. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. I thank God that we've got to stand on that today. Psalm 78:40-41. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back, tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. What I was just telling you about Moses, the psalmist was writing about it as well. But I'm going to tell you something. Refuse to complain about your condition. Refuse to. Boy, the devils will get off of you in a hurry. They'll get so mad because they ain't hearing any complaining coming out of you. This, you must refuse to criticize your leaders as well. Because I'm going to tell you something. Even though leaders, whether if it's pastors or preachers or Sunday school teachers, whoever the leaders are, if it's the leaders of our nation, we may not like that, but I'm going to tell you something. We may not have this or we may not have that. Or it can always be better this way or that way. But I'm going to tell you something. All are human and with human weaknesses. Every one of us are. And there is maybe a critical spirit that will make you unlovely, unlikely, unhappy, and unused today. Listen to what I just told you. By you complaining about your leader or whoever it is, it will give you a spirit, a critical spirit, that you won't be right in your Christian walk because you'll have all of these nasty things that you're criticizing. And before you know it, all of a sudden, it's all about you. You'll be unhappy and you'll be unused by our Lord and Savior because of your criticism that you're doing. I think that's the most miserable people that there are on the face of the earth. Amen, Brother Paul? Because they are so critical and criticizing of people everywhere they go. They're the most miserable people in this world today is because they got to criticize somebody. Our leaders are in the hands of the Lord. Okay? Even me, if I do something that's not right, I guarantee you, you won't have to do it. God will strike me down. God will take care of me. God will whoop me like a king hickory that was frisky. Take it out of the wood and strike my legs like they needed to be. Amen. Because God knows what I need. Amen. If one needs to be rebuked, God does it better than you can do it. I'm going to tell you something. If one needs removing, God can do this also. Amen. God will take care of that. You don't need to give the devil any help out there with his criticism. So don't complain about your condition and your lot. Don't criticize your leaders. Don't condone our sins as well. Some people always say, ain't nothing smelling bad at my house, but it's just as bad. I remember when the boot instructor, the old drill sergeant came up and he was telling us about taking care of our feet when we're going 12-mile march. He said, they some fungus among us. Amen. We all stink when it comes to sin. Amen. We all stink. We've all got to come and get before God, a heavenly Father. Amen. And we've got to ask Him to wash us and to cleanse us. Amen. I tell you, that's what it's all about here today. Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We've all got to practice some restraint at some time or another. We've got to practice restraint. Just let us go. Why, it'll be like a hairdo that I've never in my life been able to comb and keep the part in it right, amen? It'll be so out of whack that it'll be some going this way and some going that way. I've got to have a little bit of constraint with me, amen, to take care of it. Lord knows them grays are just bad enough themselves, amen? I'm laughing about it, amen? I'm praising God, amen, that I've got gray, amen? These young folks today living life so fast. They don't even see it. Let me move on. I'm just about coming to a close. Amen. What have I said? Amen. I said that we must remember some things. We must receive some things. And we must refuse some things. And in closing, very shortly, we also must rejoice in some things as well. We must rejoice in some things. Because it ain't all about the refusing and the remembering and the receiving. But it's rejoicing as well. Enjoying our salvation, amen. Have you ever wondered why so many lose their spirit of rejoicing soon after being saved? Have you ever wondered that? You know, years and then some later on they get that joy back because they want to get it back, amen. They come back and their face, sometimes some people's faces are so long, the smile is gone and the weariness has set in. And you would think something bad had happened to them, amen. You would have, you know. I'm going to tell you something. What has happened? Where did the joy go? What happened to it? I'm going to tell you something. The reason is hard to determine sometimes, but their eyes are on circumstances and not on Christ. That's what it is today. There's not a one that is sitting here among us that don't have circumstances. Not a one of you. I bet if I went to every one of y'all, there is some circumstance that is going on in your life right now. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not focusing on that. You're focusing on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, that's our problem today. Every one of us, there's a battle that's going on in our lives. And every one of us has to face that. And we're struggling with that holiness and practicing, trying to restrain the Holy One, I tell you, in His place, I tell you. No matter what comes, we need to rejoice about it because He has got us, amen. Because why? Because of the presence of God will never ever change. The presence of God will be there. I thank God Jesus told us in John 14:16. He said, and I will pray the Father, and He'll what? I said it earlier. He will send a comforter, and that He may abide with you forever. I've read that twice already, amen. Rejoice also in your ever-present hope. Because we have it today. John 14:3 said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Boy, that gives me something. I get to thinking a lot of times about heaven. When problems get to coming, I get to thinking about the presence of God. And one of these days, they ain't nobody going to say, he's in the next room, but you can't see him. I'm going to go right into Boy, I'm going to tell you, into the beautiful throne of heaven one of these days. And I may not deserve it. I ain't done a thing in this world to get what I've got. But just because I came before Him, humbly as I know how, as an old sinner, and said, Lord, save my soul. It gives me the right to walk up and be. I don't deserve it, okay? All right? But grace was something that was a gift that was given to me because I didn't deserve it. But He loved us so much that He gave us His Son Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And I tell you, rejoice because of the presence of God and because of the purpose of God that He has in our life to conform us, I tell you, to the image of His Son, amen. I tell you, I get happy about that today, amen. I thank God, every one of us today, as we look at all of these things, that on our way home, I tell you, now that I'm saved, hell is behind me. It's behind me, amen. And I'm happy about that, amen. It's like an operation that's already been done, and I ain't got to go through it no more, amen. It has already been removed out of my life, amen. And I'm on my way home, praise God, one of these days. It's all behind me now, amen. And my sights are on Him, praise God. Boy, I thank God. Boy, if we look, I thank God that I'm going to pray about this, that God will let me preach next Sunday. Now that I'm sure, happiness is before me. Now that I'm sure, happiness is before me. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed as we dismiss. I know I ran over just a little bit today.